telephone calls to get the people from Rosebloom to agree to be a part of the oral history project. So I could give their names and all the contact information to Will, and then when we organized that program for the four oldest people, it was wonderful to talk with all these people. I've known them all my life, you know. And especially thinking of my differences from them, the ways in which I'm different, and the experiences that I've had that they've never had in the world and all that sort of stuff, that they seem to, they acknowledge who I am and they actually respect who I am. Now, I don't know whether they respect me because of who I am in particular or because they respected my father and mother. But it doesn't matter. You know, it's that there's a bond. You know, I'm the only member of the Rosebloom Historical Association board who spent my whole life in Rosebloom. Mm-hmm. And some of the people moved away from the Historical Association because they thought that they were being ignored. And so this one woman, Pat Mabee, she says, it's so good to have you back, because she said, John, you know you grew up here. You know us, you know? And Lucy Proper, the 101-year-old who's going to be interviewed, who was in that program, I've known her all my life, for heaven's sakes, and it was just fabulous to see Lucy Proper, and to sit there and know that we go back the way we do, you know? Or Marion Holmes, who is also being interviewed, and she was in that program. I mean, Marion Holmes was with us when my mother died, for heaven's sake, you know. And it's just, you know, there comes a time in your life when you really do want the cycle of life to come around, to be complete, if you will. It gives you peace. And that's what I find in being involved now in this community. And I'm learning things. You know, people who I never thought in my wildest, I would have been afraid of them. You know? And I don't have to be. There's no reason to be afraid. I've grown. They've grown. You know, over time. And that's a nice thing. It really is a wonderful thing. Once again, I feel very fortunate to be able to have that kind of experience that I don't think a lot of people end up being able to have. And of course, it helps that Nelson loves it here, too. I mean, he's the one who got me back up here. Really. He said, oh my God, I love it there. I just love it there, you know. And so finally when I said to him in Miami Beach, we'd been up here for the summer, and I said when we got back there, I said, what would you think if we sold the place in Miami Beach and we moved up to Cooperstown? He said, I was waiting for you to ask. You know, and of course, at first I think it was a little strange for him because everything was mine. It was my territory, my people, this, my, that, my. And now Nelson is, you know, he's building on that and finding his own little sense of community. In some respects, he's more daring with community than I am because I'm still a little bit standoffish, you know, but not him. He's out there, he knows everybody. You know, people will wave. I say, who's that? He said, well, that's so-and-so who lives down the street and their children do this and their children. Okay. I guess I'm more focused on, you know, the people I knew when I was growing up or something.
Yeah. That's really, really very incredible. You know, just everything that you've done to build up this life and to have all of these communities. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing that in Princeton I built a community of people. but it was from work. I mean, it was a built-in community in a sense that all that these kids from Princeton were going to become teachers, and that was unusual. You know, they were a minority in a sense, but they all stayed in touch with each other, and I think that I did. I think I was able to communicate my love for teaching to them, and that has kept a lot of them in touch with each other and in touch with me. But then this whole sense of justice, you know, I realized that there are all these really bright kids, most of them minorities, it turns out, because of where they live, Trenton, largely. A deeply, deeply troubled city. And I realized that, you know, these smart kids weren't getting a full shake when it came to college admissions because, A, their public school wasn't adequate, and B, the effects of poverty and discrimination were holding them back. And so a friend of mine who was the chair of the sociology department of the university at the time, he and I approached the president of the university and said, would Princeton be interested in sponsoring a program where we would take groups of kids from Trenton and for a 3-year period provide them with intensive summer instruction, tutoring during the year. We would take them to cultural experiences like opera, theater, all kinds of things. Have, you know, special classes, Princeton Review stuff for them and things like that. So they would be competitive when they applied to places like Princeton, Harvard, Yale, and all these other places. And Princeton said, yeah, we will. And so we did it. We organized this program, and it ran out of my office. I was in charge of it, and I ended up hiring someone to actually be in charge of it. Well, it was a success. Our kids, it was called the Princeton University Preparatory Program. It's still very much in existence. Big deal, Princeton. They were 95% of them were completing college in 4 years. And for students from that socioeconomic stratum nationwide, only 11% complete. It's a huge success. And they were going to Princeton and Harvard and Yale and all these places, you know, and then they went on to graduate school. The program has now been in effect as they'll start their 19th year in June. And, you know, Princeton's still behind it, and major donors are supporting it. And that's the whole thing. And it's a community. These kids are tight-knit, even though they might be 19 years apart, because they all know that they have survived, you know, and that with some help, they were actually able to use their individual talents. You know, I wanted their parents and their siblings and their aunts and uncles and grandparents and friends. I wanted them all to be involved, to feel included, because you got to have a community, you know. And I discovered that these parents, it could be single parents, it could be grandparents who were the principal, you know, caregivers in their lives, but it didn't matter who they were. They wanted to be involved. And of course, all of a sudden, these people who were scared to death of Princeton University found themselves, you know, in the Princeton University chapel and then being invited to a fabulous reception with food and all this sort of stuff and being treated like celebrities in a world that they never thought they would belong in, you know. And so, you know, a whole community grew up around these kids and, you know, it propelled them forward. And so when I retired from Princeton and Shirley Tillman, the president, spoke at the PUP graduation that particular year, because we always had a graduation, she said, top is the most outstanding accomplishment of my entire tenure as president of this university. And I'm proud of it. You know, I'm really proud of it. It's one of my great accomplishments in life. And when I said earlier that I don't know if I would have become the person that I became without my Slovenian grandparents and without having been bullied and that sort of thing, without having come from a house where there wasn't hot and cold running water when I grew up. We didn't have the pitcher pump in the kitchen, you know, and my mother cooked on a wood stove and the hot water came from the reservoir at the end of the wood stove. We didn't have flush toilets until I was 6 years old, you know. If I hadn't come from that, I never would have done these things, you know. That last night when I spoke to the graduates, I said, you know, I told them about that. And parents would come up to me and they say, oh my God, Dr. Webb, you're one of us. I said, yeah, yeah. And it's about community. It really is about making sure that communities can come together and do what communities should do, you know, for people. Oh yeah, yeah, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, community.
Well, we've reached time.
Okay, sure.
Thank you so much for
You're
all
welcome.
Of this. It's been really amazing. I didn't know what to expect.
Well, that's going to be part of the fun.
Yeah, this is true, yeah.
You never know.
But thank you so much, John,
You're welcome.
For sharing so much and being so open. It was amazing. True.
But it's also nice to come to a point in your life where you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, yeah. We don't really have anything to hide. The good and the problematic. Well, it's one of the reasons why I love what you said about, you know, access to museums and things like that. And I said to you when we spoke last week, this is right up my alley. You know, I'm on to this one, you know, because it's true. It's about community. It's about community.
Totally.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, who got his graduate degree from Princeton, I mean, he brought these kids to the Museum of Natural History, you know, when he was the head of it in New York. And so every year, the pup kids were, you know, brought to the Museum of Natural History, and he himself gave them the tour and did the whole planetarium show for them and things like that. The kids would never have gone. And if they had gone, they would never have seen this. And all of a sudden, these black kids are all, you know, talking with him, and they know him from TV, and you know, all this sort of stuff, you know. It's wonderful. It's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely
their lives are changed by it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's really truly amazing the communities that you have fostered and bringing this doing it not just for you but for others. It's your commitment to community and diversity is incredibly admirable, and I thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, well, you're welcome. That's what it should be. It's what it should be. We should be working, all of us, to make sure that all of these things are accessible to everybody. You know, it's a better world.
Yeah.
You know, it's a better world.
I agree.
Well, I've loved every minute of talking. Of course, it's rare that one has an opportunity to just sit and talk about oneself. What a fabulous ego, you know, morning this has been. You know, it's a, how could one not love it?
Oh, definitely.